775, Surgil, January 26, 2009. After the break, but still continuation of lecture one. So the conclude this piece. I just copied here the diagram that you found in that is in the text. Oh, in the loose text. There may be a slightly revised of this diagram in one of the encyclopedia articles I sent you on the thesaurus development process, and it's explained in fairly self-explanatory, I think, how it works out. The cooperation with other institutions is a key piece. That maybe even within an organization. Within a large organization, you may have three units that need a vocabulary, and that each develop their own without knowing of the other. So, one key point is to look around who else needs one. Other key point is not in this diagram but in the article. Look for the functions. It could be filtered. It could be multiple things it could be useful for. Don't do it just for one. Do it for many. For example, in the Food and Agriculture Organization, they have the thesaurus, which is primarily done for the bibliographic materials and occasionally for the website. They have a database for a terminological database for the translators, separate system. And then they have a subsystem of glossaries. And they have a whole bunch of committees that do glossaries for certain areas of agriculture. And they are meant to be used by scientists and other people in that area and farmers to understand terms. And so they have these committees that work this out, and they have had them in print. And so whoever was in charge of it came to the web people. They said, "You want to put these things on the web?" And I think the idea was just to put PDFs of their previous print documents on the web. And the guy that had enough sense to say, "Well, we really should do a database." So now they have a database of these terms in the web division. Not that it's a thesaurus, it's in the web division. Three different things, different purposes. Three different things. There should be all one database. They started to do some exchange, some collaboration. I did the report for them, and I, of course, recommended put these together into one database, keeping the individuality of the data available. So they're all, even within FIO, they still have protective, they're still protectable, their information. But this is just a sort of an aside. There was one guy said, "Well, this report is not an official report of FIO." He said, "Well, let's make sure that we say this when we put it in the document repository, because putting these things together would have diminished some his empire." And 3 years later, his position was changed. And said, "Where's this report? We should unify all these three things, because now it suited his empire too. Now we would be on top of them." So a lot of, I'm not going to talk about this in this course, but a lot of these things have to do with politics. Particularly if you have vocabularies already available, or if you have to work across organizations, large, I mean, from FIO to another United Nations organization, it could get even worse. But so that's the overview. And then I was going to just give you a heads up how the overall process for the cast construction in the glass will work. So first you find a number of sources. Some of them may be machine readable, some may be not. If not machine readable, you have to transfer first. So then you have a number of files, maybe 5 or 6 or 7, with terms in them. So for the Steve Hags, we already have 2 files. We have the Steve Hags list and the AAT. So, and I'll give you the formal specification for those files. Then you give me all the files and my program, which is called DrumMaster, reads all the files and gives back one consolidated file of all the tools. So you have one big alpha file, but if the same term occurred in 2 sources, or in 3 sources, it's the only one. Okay. Now, in the olden days, we would have a big pile of calls, and then we would sort them out into subfiles. In the new days, instead, and actually, the one advantage of this was that you might not have any idea of structure. You just started. Now, this goes with that one. And sort of develop the structure inductively. You will still do that, but, sort of, but you have to sort of look over and see what are the piles we should make, and make a list of the piles. And then I created a file with word markers where you just say Alt B, this term goes into pile B. Alt F, this pile goes in pile F. And the macro puts in that information. And so it's very quick to run through the file and sort it into these broad areas that can then later on be sorted more specifically. And then we use the word sort function to resort the file from alphabetical to in broad groups, which can then be defined. And you can do the defining in 2 ways. You can either move terms around in a word processor, copy and paste, or you can, as I explained before, print them out, cut them into strips, and move them around on a table surface. For easy things, it's one is good. For more difficult things, 2 is good. I said, I'm waiting for this big surface where you can just take a pen and say, here's my term, and you move it where you want it, just like you do paper. And actually, those exist, but they're not affordable yet. Mm-hmm. And the result of that will be a file of all the terms that end up in your final product. I mean, you may say area C. We're not going to deal with it all. Remember, you start with a broad project and then you zero in on the specific area you actually want to deal with. So some of them will be gone. But you still have to go through the step to learn how to do this broad organization. So the ones you find sorted, you have a just a word processor file. Where you do just the outline format intention you used to. Hierarchic levels are indicated by a period. And DrumMaster will take that and it will add to each term all information you had from sources. Say one of your sources had definitions. wherever your term is in the hierarchical structure, it will have this definition attached to it. And so you will get that, you will get, and the program can print things out in various ways. I mean, you can print it out as a broad outline. If you have structured it right, you can print out a detailed outline, if you will, or you can just print level zeros and one. You can print that quick hierarchy, which is just the term structure, no information with it. And you can print out the full annotated hierarchy with all the information for each term. And then you can look at these printouts and sort of really see in a nice format what you did, and then restructure it. And it's much easier to work from a nice format than it is from... Oh, the term master also has nice notation. Term numbers. To the place. And so you get, actually, you get back from term master one... in the end, I'll give you PDF files that have the nice formatting, and a file that's the input file format for Thomas. But now has everything you did in one file. That's actually, I mean, the easiest way to do it, at least in this course, is to consider this file the repository of your system. So term master doesn't know anything or that about what's in your system except what it reads in. So you can edit in there, whatever, move things around, change definitions, change cross-references, add cross-references. You will read in the new file and produce nice output. You can look at the nice output, you can change things around, you can modify your file, and you can go through several cycles of that process. So that's the idea. I sent out an email, and I just want to repeat that. It doesn't look like when is the project would get there, but if anybody wanted to actually construct something like Sumo or a full fledged ontology with axioms and so forth, then you could use some ontology management software like this. The one that's most widely known is Prodigy. That person was in the right place at the right time. He did his dissertation and just take it off. I call it. There's some editing you can do, but there's visual structure. Synonyms are hard to deal with. It's the concept structure he offers. It's the kind of relationships you find in human ontology, the part of and the regulates and all that. Can deal with. Can produce a nicely readable human printout? Mm-hmm. Not really. There are some ways to display it graphically, but graphic representations have limits. They're nice for small sets, but for large sets or not. And so it's good for some things and not good for others. But if anybody wanted to construct something like that and use Prodigy, it would be fine. Okay, so lecture one took a little longer. But now let me look at scheduling. Let's see, Jana knows the relationship approach in general. You have read from the text, which may be enough. Melissa, do you have any exposure to entity relationship modeling?
Do I have what?
Any exposure or knowledge of entity relationship modeling?
I might, but I don't know what that means by you saying that.
Okay, what is known by that term? You have a copy of organizing information?
Is it the text?
The textbook for 670?
I think so, yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you want to look at chapter 3 in there.
Okay.
That means depending on the composition of the class, actually in the lecture notes have here the example from 670, and I would talk about it, but I'm going to skip that piece. But I am going to give you a heads up on the construction of a conceptual schema for the mini project. So if you go to page 12 of these lecture notes, there is a database, actually it's a frame database for the area of information and referral. And we'll see from that example how class construction and the relationship modeling relate. So the main unit of interest here is a service. A service is offered by an organization. But an organization could offer multiple services. So when you run an information referral center, the unit you focus on should be a service. That's what you refer to. And these services are numbered. What do I mean by service? I don't mean health services generally. I mean this particular clinic that offers walk-in, what do they call this, primary care, or just general health service. So it's in this particular clinic, or it may be a providing meals at a certain time at this particular place, this particular location. Well, even if it's mobile meals, you know, this service where they bring meals to the home, a particular organization offering that particular service, that instance of the service is the unit of analysis. If there are three organizations that run a mobile meal service in a city, there are three different services, but each is its own instance. So it's not a type of service, it's the actual service provision unit. And they are just numbered here. And in my example here, I have three. One is the health service run by the Alexandria Women's Clinic. And that service is located in a certain place. It has hours. And then it says it serves clientele elderly, serves clientele female, serves clientele poor. It's direct assistance in the area of health. Direct assistance, I could just give somebody counseling on how to get healthy. Or I could actually prescribe pills, and I could actually give them a shot. I could actually do the thing that they need. That's direct assistance. Then we have a second service run by Catholic charities, different location, different hours. It serves clientele elderly, serves clientele female, serves clientele poor. It's direct assistance and it's health. In health. Then we have a third one, And so it's different than that. And now I'm sounding like a broken record. It's still elderly, it's still female, it's still poor. It's like the assistance is health. So, the question is, how can we simplify this representation some? There's clearly a lot of repetition here. Right? Because all of them serve the group of elderly female poor. So we could define a group of elderly poor women as a kind of group with the three characteristics elderly, female, poor. So the definition of has characteristics as used in this context of group has characteristics of elderly means this is a group of people who all have the characteristic elderly. And who all have the characteristic of female, all have the characteristic of poor. So now these service descriptions get shorter. And you could look at this as, instead of assigning three elemental descriptors, elderly, female, and poor, each assigned separately, we now assign one pre-combined descriptor. Serves clientele group one. And that makes the descriptions of each service shorter. By two lines, to be precise. Okay. Another way to look at this is we looked at these services and we saw that they have something in common. They all serve elderly, female, poor. So we take that characteristic that's in common and pull it out, if you will, and define it. Define what's in common, group one. And so now, again, we can use that new, in terms of descriptors, you could say we have created a pre-combined descriptor. Elderly poor women. And we assign that pre-combined descriptor. Because as we build this database, other such groups may emerge. There may be, we look at these five services and they all deal with obese men. And we can make a group of obese men and use that pre-combined descriptor. Now, in this database, how would we find all services serving elderly, any kind of elderly people, in the revised database? In the original database, we would just look for any entrance to our clientele elderly and pull it out. Yeah. What do we do in the new database? It doesn't say elderly anymore, it says serves clientele group one.
Figure out which groups have elderly.
Yep. So we would search the groups. We'd find all the groups that serve elderly. And then we would look for any service that had any of these, that serves any of these groups. Okay. For those of you who have done 670, the group one, elderly poor women, is a pre-combined descriptor. We would use the structure of the database to find all pre-combined descriptors that include the component elderly. And I've called that a descriptor find index. Because we find pieces. And actually, I'm going to go back in a minute to the genealogy and show you how that's actually happening there a lot. Now, we could still use the same principle and look at these services and see that all of these fields are direct assistant in health. So if you go to page 14, we could define a service type. We call it health clinic, and it is direct assistance in health. So health clinic is a kind of service that provides direct assistance in the area of health. It doesn't do food, doesn't do clothing, just health. Doesn't do law, just health. And the direct assistant again means it doesn't just tell you how to get healthy, it actually gives you a shot to get healthy. Now we can rewrite the definition strong, the service description. We now just say it's a service type 1, service clientele group 1. So run by is located ahead of ours. They were still different. Okay. So now we have two pre-combined descriptors. Health service, health clinic, and elderly women. Can we use this one further? All of these services here are service type 1 to group 1. So we could define a service type 2, which is health clinic for elderly poor women. Because that's what all of these are, right? So then the description of each service we could reduce the description to 4 lines. It is a service type 2. We have now said in one fell swoop it's a health clinic for elderly poor women. Somehow the alignment didn't work out here well. So it's run by health initiatives, it's located at has hours. So we still say the same. So those are sort of specific to every service. They're not in the type definition. Now, what if this health initiative organization runs 20 health clinics for elderly poor women? We could introduce a further specification of service type to say health clinic for elderly poor women run by health initiatives. I didn't do this right, did I? No, this is okay. Service type 3, that's what it is. And then service 1 of the kind of women's clinic would be service type 3 located at head hours. Because all the other information is now all wrapped up into service type 3. And so we could, inductively, we could build up a list of groups and a list of service types, each defined as a combination of things.
So I have a question. If you start grouping things together and developing service type 1, service type 2, and so forth, and then you have, let's just say, one occurrence of service type 1 health clinic, which is, you know, direct assistance food, just as an example, are you locked into developing another category for that, or can some of your entries be more developed than others, depending on if there is a grouping or not a grouping?
I mean, if we had service number 4, service instant may even be a better term, number 4,
mm-hmm.
the same thing but with food.
Okay. Okay, but you're locked into developing.
No, we could. In that case, we could still use if it was still food for elderly poor women.
Okay.
We could still use that group one.
Okay.
But not use the service type, not define a service type corresponding to 02, which is healthy for elderly poor women. We don't define food for elderly poor women.
Okay, so we don't have to develop groups for that if we've developed groups for other related things.
You, in this database, you could develop groups when they are when it pays and not when it doesn't. There's only one, let me worth it.
Yeah.
Now, when you then do a listing of all the service types of all the groups, it may be a little bit confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So some people will say, well, if we do this at all, let's define every group.
Mm-hmm.
But it's debatable. Now, you can do it either way. Now, in terms of developing a thesaurus for this information referral, what do we need to do? What can we tell from this analysis what we need to do? You could even tell this from the very first one on page 12. Where it says serve clientele. Here we have classed as elderly. What else could it say there?
Young
babies, middle, whatever. So we need the classification of
people
by age. And then, well, the female, of course, is easy. The poor is not quite that easy. Because you would have to then have to have a characterization of people by, and there may be other characteristics of people you need to develop. What about the service type?
We need to provide like referrals.
Referrals. So we need to develop a classification of service types. And finally, it has service area. We need to develop a list of classification of service areas so that we can do these descriptions. Now, if we go through the more of the groups, then we need to have a classification of compound groups. And we'll have to figure out how we arrange them so they make sense. But at the basis of it all is this analysis that we did into sort of how that there's a relationship service 01 has service area help. So we had to set up a conceptual schema. And this may not be complete. There may be other pieces. And actually what I think what the calendar says you should do by next week is to, so before you ask me what to do next week, just ask the calendar if that's what I do. So I wanted to look over the terms and develop a conceptual schema version 0, the food version 0 there. Just by looking what's there. You may amend that schema as you move along in the terms. Okay, so that's the minute part. We'll get back to this in a minute. There is another example of this approach in the UMLS. They have a semantic network. And the nicest printouts of it are from 1999. There hasn't been much change in the relationship, maybe a little. But maybe you want to skip all these graphics and go to where it says unified medical language system, UMS, semantic types. Have you looked at the semantic network?
Yes.
Okay, then you know what energy relationship approach is.
Yes.
Because the semantic types, or entity types, in effect, in on those pages labeled 12 F and G, you have a hierarchy of these entity types. And if you turn the page, there is a hierarchy of relationships. Because semantic relations, actually, most precisely would be called relationship types. And those are relationship types for, like, is ingredient of interconnects. That maybe the interconnect would be a in the body. One anatomical feature interconnects two things. Tributary of, that's probably used for arteries and veins. Affects, so treats some, it could be a chemical substance, treats a disorder, or it could be a physical manipulation that treats a disorder. Could be like the chiropractor pulls your dislocated shoulder back where it belongs. It's treats, but it's not a drug.
That causes.
There's cause. There's many, many different relationship types that are here. And so this conceptual schema can be used to record medical facts. Some say, but actually, if you want to be a little more cautious, you want to say medical assertions. The fact is assumed to be true, and you don't know if it's true or not. But assertion is merely a formal expression. It says it's somebody claims this is how it works. So an assertion could be a lie. Fact could not. It could be a deliberate lie, or it could be something that people think is the case, but it's actually not. And in medicine, this happens all the time. What was yesterday's fact was now, it's now no longer believed to be true. There's just one comment I could make on the semantic types. They are getting fairly specific in semantic types. So I might stop an organism. And unless there are relationship types that apply only to birds and no other organism, there's really nothing gained by having a semantic type root. And for substance, one could make similar arguments. There's always a question how far down do you go, but one could probably do with I don't know, maybe 15 entity types other than the two pages we have here. And still be able to express everything. I'm just looking where do they have. Here there is no. Ah, yes, there's anatomical structure, physical after anatomical structure. So they could be related to organisms. But they could just be related to organisms and be done with it. So this was created in conjunction with the Unified Medical Language System. And I think the idea was to introduce a lot of assertions into their Universal Medical Language System, UMLS, is an integrated database that includes many, many medical vocabularies. Think about 100, maybe more than 100, in multiple languages. And so the idea was to enrich that vocabulary by using these kinds of, by assigning to each content a semantic type, and then by including many assertions using the relationship types. And I don't think much of that has been done. They may each have a semantic type, I know. Do you know in the UMLS that each content has a semantic type?
I think as you get further down the trees, not as much so.
Okay. But that was the idea, that would be the first idea, is to make it all assign a semantic type. And then the next level would be to actually do a lot of these relationships, like please. Mm-hmm. But that would mean you are including lots of assertions about chemical substance X, please, disorder Y. And you could, of course, but would be useful. Would expand the system. I mean, it has a few of those assertions in it, just by from different systems, but not nearly all. And I mean, mesh has some of these three things expressed in its hierarchy, but only a fraction of the drug disease relations are out there. So you could put all of those in. So if you were to really implement this program, that would be this database that's now primarily about content and conceptual relationships would be very large and have a lot of assertions in it. That I think is sort of the vision in the end. That's what the schema is for. But all of the schema tells them what kind of content do we need. Because all these entity types need to be represented in the vocabulary. And if each concept had a semantic type associated with it, they could arrange the vocabulary by entity type. To some extent it is. I think all the anatomical structures are in one part of the hierarchy. Okay. I mean, you have a mini project, you have a conceptual data schema, you might see, maybe you want to arrange it by the schema. Okay, I said I was going to have a quick look at the stack on the gene ontology about just to illustrate recombined descriptors. See, if you actually, I indicated by little diagonals. Negative regulation of cell differentiation is clearly a recombined descriptor. And it was we could go back and sort of reconstruct backwards the same sort of analysis I showed you for the control surfaces. And so the components are It's negative could be a component, actually, combined with regulation. And then there is a process of differentiation applied to self, specifically. Differentiation could be applied to other things, like species or individuals, the full organism. So all of this is now they do not have a system whereby you could go in and say, show me all combinations that deal with differentiation. It's not there. Because maybe you could get it somewhere. Now, you could certainly get everything in cell differentiation. Because any compound concept, like negative regulation of cell differentiation, that has in it the two components, differentiation of cells, will be listed under cell differentiation somewhere. So negative regulation of cell differentiation occurs in multiple places. Every place where it would go according to its components. So regulation of cell differentiation has one component less. Doesn't have the negative. Right? How about negative regulation of cellular processes? Okay. Now notice, this hierarchy does not have a notation. So I cannot quickly pinpoint and tell you where negative regulation of cellular process is. But it's in the upper quarter. Did you find it? So under that you find negative regulation of cell differentiation. Why? Because differentiation is a kind of process. Okay. So, in negative regulation of cellular process, we have four components. The negative part, the regulation part. It's applied to a cell. It's called cellular, it's a little cell. And process. Negative regulation of cell differentiation has also four components: negative, regulation, cell, and differentiation. So what makes it narrower? In the top one, it could be any process. The process component is specialized in differentiation, make it narrower. This is actually a review from 670 or new, some of you. Let me do this just again, then we'll have to move on. So when you go back to this regulation of cell differentiation and the narrower term negative regulation of cell differentiation, that was made narrower by combining or intersecting it with a further component, negative. Regulation of cell differentiation is the same for both. But the narrower one is made more specific by saying not just any cell differentiation, negative cell differentiation. So we added a component. Whereas in regulation of cellular process, regulation of cell differentiation, where was I? I have to go back to my example here. So we do it in the right way. Let me just Okay. It was at towards the very top, negative regulation of cellular process. Has four components. The negative, the regulation, the cellular or cell, that's really interchangeable in terms of the process. And the negative regulation of cell differentiation has four components. Right. So why is it narrower?
Differentiation.
It's not just any process.
It's
a differentiation. So one of the components was made narrower. That's the other way to get the narrower terms. There are two ways to do it. You either add a component, or you narrow one of the components. So that's a very quick recap from 670, but I think it's fairly clear from here. So, now we need to review quickly what you need to do for next time. And so, you go to the calendar, page 4, due February 2. There are a bunch of readings which are in your packet. The mini prospect, developer conceptual schema. So define the entity types and relationship types for this area of information referral. Then for the main project, there is two things you need to do. You need to define a scenario and scope. And so the best, I mean, if you can meet as a group, that will be the best. If you can't meet as a group, you can virtually meet. And since we have two people absent here, it may just that we may fall a little behind schedule at the beginning. We should catch up again. The other is find sources. Textbook section F11 gives a list of types of sources, and to the extent feasible, you should have a representative for each type. Not all apply to everything, but try to find them. So you may still amend this list later on. I'm going to look over them with you, but get a first list there. Your scenario and scope is fairly well given. Melissa, by your by the task. For the film, you have to define what you want to make this film classification for. And for the art, I think we have to define something, but what do we develop? This may be very broad. This may be a classification that helps anybody to find images. Could be just a general museum visitor. It could be somebody who is interested in art generically. It could be art scholars. Anybody else in the user group that we want to? So you want to sort of address user group, and you want to address maybe some scenario for retrieval. And so I think wouldn't actually restrict anything, but I mean you could say this big image on the web. Whether that would make any difference to the final product, I'm not sure. The user group is the more important criterion, and in this case it's very broad. You still want to write it down for your own guidance. And look for some sources, given that we already have two. Okay. So whoever wants the book can have one, and as I said, the copy cost came to $20. I estimated it pretty well. One year King Chris made a mistake and it cost me $8, but that was that was
not such
like this time. That was clearly wrong. Because actually I think the binding alone is $5.
Mm.
I mean, just to, but to have them as loose sheets, that doesn't work. I mean, it's very well worth it to have it in a system that's nicely arranged. So if you need a book, you should either a check or an IOU to me. I pay the copies.
Is it easier for you if I give you a check, just one check for everything, or
no?
Okay.
Because I don't know yet what the final materials will come to.
Okay.
You just have a piece of that.
Okay.
I aspire to do this at the beginning of the semester, but it never works out for this class for some reason. And so I think I told you in the syllabus it may be up to $25, maybe probably a little less. But I'm probably have to do at least two installments and then add up the cost for it. Any other questions before we sit back? Okay. And you should email. I don't know when Diana comes back in town.
I can email her.
Yeah.
I was emailing with her a little bit. She said she might want to work with me, but I don't know about what she wants to do with them.
Oh, okay.
I'll email her, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I worked with her in a group last year
and
something, so. So yeah. I saw her email.
But if you look at it and you. In conclusion, in the end, you all five on the Work in the Sea project. That
okay.
You could still have that option.
Okay.
Because I mean, what you do till next time is not a whole lot of effort and maybe good information to make up your mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's not wasted in any event. So if you have any questions, email me. I'll see you next week. And this is it.